You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
On the subject of uniforms, before we get to our guest, Matt Wilhelm, do you have your NFL uniforms?
I do. Yes, I do.
All right. Do you have a San Diego? You played in San Diego.
Yes, I did.
All right. Do you have a Charger uniform?
I do, and I was actually a part of a major renovation. If you recall, they had the navy blue helmets, the navy blue jerseys, and then they went to the white helmets, the different shade of blue, the lightning bolts changed on the side of the pants. Right. So it was a major renovation, and it was highly embraced by the city.
Yeah. Well, I love those Chargers.
Yes. Those baby blues.
Baby blues. I mean, I remember the AFL days.
Yes.
4 o'clock in the afternoon, you'd turn on NBC, and the Chargers would be playing somebody in San Diego.
Yep.
Okay. And they'd be in those powder blues.
Yep.
And the baby blues, as you call them. And Charlie Jones would be doing the game on NBC. And it was just a treat to watch them because they were fun to watch anyway.
I wore those. Those were kind of a part of the, like, now we've got the baby blues or powder blues are a part of like the three, you know, uniform rotation. But when we would wear those once a year, we'd actually wore those old AFL helmets with the lightning bolt with our number on them.
Right.
So, and we got to keep those too. So I have the helmet from those uniforms as well.
Okay. So April 14th is when the new reveal of the Browns uniform will be. And right now, let's talk quarterback. Okay. Let's talk Josh McCown. And let's go to a guy that had a bird's eye view of Josh McCown when he was playing for the Buccaneers this past year. TJ Reeves is the sideline reporter on the Tampa Bay Bucs radio network. And we welcome him to Cleveland Browns Daily. Hi, TJ.
Good to be with you. I remember standing in the coffee line at Cleveland Browns Stadium press box with you that day, asking you and the Browns to take it easy on us. We had some winning games. It didn't work out that way, but that's all right.
Hey, I got to tell you, and I want to say this professionally, all right? The guy you work with, Gene Deckerhoff, is one of my all-time favorite listens to, whether he's doing Florida State or fire those cannons with the Buccaneers. He is one of the all-time greats. I mean, I have to tell you, talk about bringing a game to life through the speakers of your car radio. Gene Deckerhoff, he's got the master plan on that.
Well, okay, so while we totally digress for 10 more seconds, shortly after you and I were talking, I think Gene walked up and you and he were talking. Did he go over inside information here? A lot of the fans maybe don't get to be in the press box. But
right.
You have the big murals is the best way to describe it, of the old municipal stadium.
Yes, sure.
And Gene was pointing out where you did the game for visiting radio on top of the roof.
Up
on the roof.
That's right.
And Gene pointed at it going, we used to do the game right here up on top of the stadium, fire them cannons. So,
he is right. I'll tell you what. Yeah, that's exactly right. But what a great, great talent he is. TJ, Josh McCown is here in Cleveland right now. It's 16 degrees outside here. And believe me, that's warm to what it's been here in the last couple of weeks. He's obviously making a tour to try and find a spot. What was it like for him in Tampa? I know there was an injury there and he missed a bunch of time. But what was it like for him with the Buccaneers? And what did you think of the way he played?
Well, let's give it its just due. There was not a lot of success. Ultimately, he only had one win as a starter, was brought in. He had been a journeyman. He is a journeyman. He's been with numerous different NFL teams. He was brought in by Lovie Smith because he had been in Chicago with Lovie Smith previously as a veteran influence, a veteran quarterback who had played fantastically down the stretch of the season at the end of 2013 with the Chicago Bears. He threw 14 touchdowns, I think it was, or maybe 15, and one interception at the end of the year. So he played so well, Jim, and everything was set up for him to lead an offense that is veteran-laden. It had players like Vincent Jackson and Doug Martin in the backfield and some others. And unfortunately, you had a new offensive coordinator come in with Lovie Smith and Jeff Tedford, former college coach at Cal. And Tedford began to have, literally, heart trouble. And wasn't feeling well and eventually had stents put in his heart. And the point that I'm getting at is everything really got put on hold. Is he going to be the play caller? Is he not going to be the play caller? In the meantime, McCown, by his own admission, threw some critical interceptions in the first couple of games, ends up getting hurt in the Thursday night blowout loss at Atlanta and goes to the sideline. And this team really never recovered from that. And You know, it's unfortunate. There were offensive line problems. He made a lot of bad decisions. I think he was pressing by his own admission. I got the chance to do radio shows with him, and he even admitted on the radio shows, I was trying to do too much. I am trying to do too much. You can't just take it upon yourself to take chances and to take risks to try to make something happen. So that was a lot of the problem down here. But what you see, he has value in terms of leadership and definitely influence on younger quarterbacks. And if you need a guy to come in and spot start or maybe even get on a roll and start three or four games, he's done that throughout his career. That's why Buffalo's interested. That's why Chicago's interested. That's why Mike Pettine and the Browns are talking to him.
Ryan.
So, TJ, you're essentially confirming the fact that that Josh McCown may not be the guy or a long-term fix here. He just may be an upgrade as Cleveland continues to add value and competition at the quarterback position.
Well, and that's the truth because he's also 35 years old.
Yeah,
I don't think you're looking at – and when he signed the two-year deal this time last year in the first week in March in free agency, I don't think anybody here looked at this as long-term savior at quarterback. This was a temporary – situation where he was going to try to help this team get over the top for a year or two, and maybe, you know, and maybe it works out and you get an extra year or two out of that. He ends up being here 3 or 4 years. It didn't work for a number of different reasons, and the Buccaneers were good to him because they realized they're going to go in a different direction with a new offensive coordinator. They let him go back a couple of weeks ago to have the chance prior to free agency to shop around.
Right.
Because he's released, and that's exactly what he's doing.
TJ Reeves from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Radio Network is on our Ohio Business Machines hotline right now talking about Josh McCown, and we'll talk about Mike Lennon in a second here. But as I got ready for the game when the Browns were getting ready to play the Buccaneers and Glennon was going to play in the game and did against the Browns, I was watching the game from the week before to kind of see what the Buccaneers were doing, and the analyst in the game that day on television was talking about what a great position McCown had taken during his period of being hurt and how he was really working as a quarterback coach, really, with Glennon, and that he really took it seriously. And because of the problems, as you said, with Jeff Tedford and how the situation was offensively, he had kind of become not only a backup quarterback, but really like a quarterback coach.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And the dynamic of what happened is when Tedford took the leave and eventually never came back, his quarterback coach, Marcus Arroyo, who had been an offensive coordinator for Jeff Tedford in college previously, he got elevated to be the play caller, and now he's trying to split duties. And you're right, McCown became kind of de facto extra influence, extra quarterback coach, just because of how many years he's been around. I mean, the guy was throwing football 10 years ago to Anquan Boldin in Arizona and eventually to Larry Fitzgerald. He's also thrown ball to Calvin Johnson, oh, by the way, in Detroit. Threw him to Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey in Chicago last year. I mean, he's got a lot of veteran experience, and he really embraced that role that you're talking about mentoring Mike Glennon, and he would be great in any other situation with a young quarterback in the room anywhere in the NFL. I saw it firsthand. He is a pro's pro, guys. There's no doubt that he is in it to help the team. And we saw that while he was hurt last year here in Tampa Bay, McCown.
And that's not a bad role for him here in Cleveland. And the other quarterback that you mentioned is Mike Glennon.
Yeah.
What is the likelihood, you know, from your personal perspective, on him being retained there in Tampa Bay because of the perspective of drafting Jameis Winston number one overall? And or how do you feel of a guy, if not McCown, a guy like Glennon coming here to Cleveland as well?
Well, you know, so many people are you know, scurrying around here trying to figure out what the Bucs are going to do at the quarterback position, and Lovie Smith made it clear, and I think he's sincere on this. They still believe that Mike Glennon has potential, and Mike Glennon has started a bunch of games now, 13 of them in his rookie year, and I believe he started four or five more last year. So he's got some playing experience. He's got some ability. He's very cost-friendly. That's what is fueling the trade speculation.
Right. Was it $700,000, I think?
That's exactly right.
Yeah,
for
right.
A guy that started and is young, that is very salary cap-friendly. But, you know, I wouldn't go so far as to say that the Buccaneers are absolutely going to get rid of him. He's the only quarterback right now on the roster.
That's right.
While they figure out what to do before free agency and before the draft. And again, I've gotten to know Mike some over the last couple of years doing radio shows as well, and he's really – you know, his first two seasons now in the league, you had the Josh Freeman debacle 2 years ago where that unraveled, and he's now the quarterback that has to step in as a rookie. And then last year they had planned to go with Josh McCown, who began to struggle and got hurt. And in both cases, Mike Glennon was ready there to step in. So he understands the ups and downs of the NFL, because Glennon eventually went back to the bench in the middle of last season in Tampa Bay when McCown got healthy again and had to accept the role of being a backup again.
Seems to be the bailout guy there in Tampa.
Well, and he's got some size and got some arm strength.
Well, he does have size,
definitely some attributes.
Yeah.
But, and obviously the salary cap part of it is a big deal, and game experience. You guys know this.
Right.
I mean, Eric, you play. There is no substitute for getting out there under live fire, especially as a quarterback. And he has done that now almost 20 times in his NFL career in a regular season, his first couple of years. That has value.
Yeah. You know, he's one of those guys, and we're speaking with T.J. Reeves from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Radio Network, and we're speaking about Mike Glennon now after we talked about Josh McCown. But Glennon is one of those guys, and I can remember a long time ago, coaches would always look at Vinny Testaverde, and they would say, someone very close to God put that arm on that body, and, you know, with the size, and to watch him throw all the time was an absolute thing of beauty.
Look at you pulling out the early 90s Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Cleveland Browns reference.
That's right.
You're exactly right.
Yeah.
He ended up in Cleveland.
Yeah. And did very well. And he did well.
Playoff game. I mean, you talk about 6 degrees of separation from Kevin Bacon. How about 6 degrees of separation from Bill Belichick?
Right.
Belichick being the coach and Vinny Testaverde's the quarterback.
Right.
And they beat Bill Parcells in a playoff
game. That's right.
You called it, Jim. I believe you called the playoff game.
Absolutely. On New Year's Day.
Vinny, you're exactly right. If you were going to say prototypical, you know, show me the physique and the arm of a quarterback in the last 20 or 30 years, it would be Vinny Testaverde.
Yeah.
You would be right.
But I tell you what, when I watched Glennon throw, like in warm-ups that day, and even in the game, okay, even in the game that day, you know, he's big, he's got a great sight line over the field, and he's got a great arm. I mean, it's like effortless when he lets it go.
Yeah, and he does have a big arm. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Now, accuracy down the field.
Yeah.
Is a question mark. Not the most mobile of guys, but by the same token, does some things well. He led the team from behind in the Steeler win a couple of weeks
before the Bucs played the Browns,
which was about a 60 or 70-yard touchdown drive in the final minute where he roped a couple of throws down the field and then eventually threw the game winner down inside the 10-yard line to Vincent Jackson. So, again, he's got some experience in this league. He's got talent. He is six. He's every bit of 6'7". He's a big dude in the pocket. So, you know, again, for the Buccaneer fans at the moment, I wouldn't get so used to him being somewhere else. He may be right here in Tampa Bay. And then again, yeah, there may be some trade value.
Mm-hmm.
This whole mayhem process is about to begin with free agency first. And then we get in and around the draft where the Bucs have the number one pick and all the speculation is go take a quarterback. We'll see what Mike Glennon's future is, guys.
And, DJ, you bridged me right to my next question. My next question was, what's the likelihood in your mind that he's back? And if not, it would, of course, be via trade most likely. What do you think the value to get a guy like Mike Glennon onto another roster would take?
I don't know, per se. He was a third-round pick. I don't know that you have to get a third-round pick back in return if you were going to make a trade for him. But, again, you know, maybe they're looking for more than that just because of, as we keep talking about, salary
cap. No other quarterback on the roster either.
And he's the best quarterback on the roster they currently have, and he started 20 games, 18, 20 games, whatever it is. So, yeah, there would probably have to be at least mid-round value if you're going to trade him. But I say again to your audience, I don't know that the Buccaneers are parting with Mike Glennon. He may be the second guy behind whoever they draft number one. He may end up being in the plans when we fast-forward a few months from now for the start of this upcoming season. That is yet to be determined.
I'll tell you, TJ, Johnny Manziel, of course, has had a much publicized year, and I think the thing he missed the most was Mike Evans.
Yes.
I'm telling you.
When I
would watch him play, and I watched those famous Alabama games, you know, that Johnny had against Alabama, and he did, you know, he had some great games. But Mike Evans was usually on the other end of those
yes,
of those you know, Harry Houdini plays that he pulled out down in Tuscaloosa and at College Station. But you guys got Mike Evans, and I'll tell you what an upside he's got.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. And in the game, you know, and the Browns fans will remember this, in the game in Cleveland, Mike had a huge game with a couple of touchdowns.
He did, yeah.
And Mike Glennon missed him a couple times on longer passes, or Mike might have had a 200-yard day that day. And you know, he was on one of the touchdowns. He was looking right over at the sideline and smiling at Johnny Manziel and doing the money sign and the whole thing. They are guys. They are very tight off the field. And Mike has even made mention, you know, of how concerned he is with Johnny's situation off the field. As all the Cleveland fans that are in Manziel's corner are obviously concerned as well. Because and Evan said this. He said that's one of my brothers right there. That I will always. Love Johnny Manziel wherever he is in the NFL and wherever I am in the NFL. So those guys are very tight. And how, you know, you make a great point. He was a security blanket for Manziel on the football field for sure. Manziel could run around for 4 seconds and fire one down the field, and Mike Evans was going to catch it no matter where it was.
Yeah. Before we let you go, and I thanks for your time, and that is, if I'm going to put you on the clock right now, and you're picking for the Bucs with that first pick, and where are you going?
Well, have I signed a veteran free agent quarterback? Have I signed a veteran free agent?
You have not.
You have not.
A veteran free agent quarterback, that makes it intriguing. If I've not, then it makes it automatic, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
Okay, so I haven't signed a veteran free agent quarterback, let's just say. Yep. All right, so you're on the clock making the pick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the kind of thing that gets back to the Tampa Bay media, too, that the Buccaneer radio guy is talking about what they're going to do. at the moment, I think you're looking at quarterback, and you're probably looking at Jameis Winston, just from all the hype.
Right.
Now, with that one caveat here, that they haven't met with these guys yet. They haven't looked at the full NFL investigation and security stuff into their background. They haven't seen their pro day workouts at their individual schools. And all of this could change. And let me put one more thought out there for you that I don't know that gets enough publicity, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Dirk Cutter's the new offensive coordinator here, who was the offensive coordinator in Atlanta and Jacksonville, formerly head coach at Arizona State and Boise State for 11 years as a college assistant. Dirk Cutter had a guy on his staff named Mark Helfrich. Now the head coach at Oregon, Marcus Mariota's coach.
Yeah.
So while we're doing all of our diligence, who do you think has been on the phone with Mark Helfrich, finding out everything he can about Marcus Mariota's study habits, his teammates, his academics, all of it. So I think there's a lot of diligence that still goes on, and we'll just see. It's going to be wild for the next 8 or 9 weeks with all the speculation about what the Bucs do.
TJ, thanks so much for your time. It was a lot of fun having you on.
Hey, I appreciate the phone call, and we will see you again in Tampa, where it will be much warmer, presumably, when the Browns and Bucs ever hook up again here in the next few years in the schedule rotation. But, Jim, it's good to be with you, and Eric, you guys do well.
All right, thanks a lot. Thank you very much. TJ Rivas, who is from the Tampa Bay Bucs radio network. He works their sideline there. And interesting stuff, huh, about Josh McCown.
Yeah.
Now, the only thing I'm picking up there, okay, we need a guy that can come in and play right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, and I get the whole mentor thing, and that's great. If you have the luxury of that, I mean, that would be wonderful. But I don't think we're at that point where we can have a guy that can just, you know, put his arm around a young guy. We need a guy that can put his arm around the young guy, but when we have the ball, he's got to go out and play and make plays and hopefully win some games.
No doubt, and you could hear it in his voice. They were pitched on that confidently in Tampa for Josh McCown to be the guy, and he wasn't. So in a year from now, with, you know, one less year of experience and, of course, the injuries that he had last season, what makes anybody think that he can do it for another organization and be that guy there?
He would be the second McCown here.
Yes, he would.
I remember that? Luke McCown was drafted by Butch Davis.
Yes, I did.
Played at Louisiana Tech, I think. Do you know why Butch drafted him? I remember when I would sit and Butch would yell at me during the Inside the Huddle with Butch Davis show every Monday night at 7 o'clock. Okay. He said Butch's philosophy was that he drafted players from Miami or players that he coached against when he was with Miami, or players that he recruited to come to Miami. And Luke McCown, he recruited him to come to Miami, but there was a logjam at quarterback at Miami. There was a logjam at every position at Miami. And so he went to Louisiana Tech and then almost beat Miami when he played against them. So Butch drafted him here.
Loved him.
Yeah, he did. He loved him.
That's a funny story.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you follow the pattern, you know, you follow the pattern
anything Miami
of the way that Butch did it, you are either a Miami Hurricane, you played against the Hurricanes, or you were recruited by Butch to go to the Hurricanes and maybe decided to go somewhere else. Like Jeff Fain.
Sure.
Jeff Fain was a guy that he wanted to go to Miami.
Notre Dame guy.
And he went to Notre Dame instead. All right. Anyway, great segment.
Yes.
Thanks very much
to
TJ.
Thank you, TJ.
Yeah. So Josh McCown is here. Are we taking a break?
Yes, we are.
And when we come back, Scott Petrak will join us, who right now is really like a fellow staff member at WKYC Channel 3. As I said the last time he was on, he's on Channel 3 more, and when he's on, longer all the time than I am ever on the television station. But he also writes.
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does. And when we come back, we'll check in with him on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Eric, or as I like to call him, Matt Wilhelm, along with Jim Donovan on this Wednesday here in Berea.
Everybody caught it.